Good morning. So, there is a fascinating word in the English language that I became acquainted with, which is going to be the goal of our Shabbos discussion today. And the word, as you see here in your Mar Mekomos, is interiority. And I want to come back to this word. This is going to be the goal, the focus, our destination today. Because this word, interiority, can help us appreciate a dimension of Shabbos that needs focus, it needs understanding, especially in light of the fact that we spent a lot of time emphasizing the role of the realm of time when it comes to Shabbos, Kedushas Hazman. And we spent an entire morning, I don't want to say insulting, but basically insulting the realm of Kedushas Makom, the realm of place. We said, Shabbos is all about Zman, it's all about time. Well, today, place gets its revenge. There is a scholar who is known to people in this community through relatives of his, who recently visited Chicago, and I came across him, and we were having a conversation. I told him that I'm working this year on developing different aspects of Shabbos. And he's like, well, I actually just published a book on Shabbos. I'm like, oh, amazing! Well, guess what? Shortly thereafter, he presented me, first of all, a personally inscribed copy. Second of all, it is a great work. I'm in the middle. I haven't gone through the whole thing yet because I just literally got it a few weeks ago. It's called Stop, Look, Listen, Celebrating Shabbos Through a Spiritual Lens by Rabbi Dr. Nechemia Polin. Nechemia Polin. So he's also the author of The Holy Fire, the analysis of the Pia Setzner's Eish Kodesh. He's a scholar, lives in Boston. He's also the sweetest, most wonderful, generous, and thoughtful human being. So I've had a chance when he comes to Chicago to talk to him on occasion. So he told me, I just published a book on Shabbos. I'm like, it's amazing. So he dropped it off. And he has a little section in the book that caught my attention, among many others, because you could see the many dog-eared pages that are going to be utilized over the course of this year. So he has a section in which he picks up a piece from C.S. Lewis. C.S. Lewis, as you know, was a very prominent 20th century author, British author. He was also a shtickel theologian. He wasn't a formal theologian. He was like a lay theologian. He was a deeply connected, devout Christian. So he published about Christianity and religious writings. I think his most famous book is The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. I think that was probably the most famous book. But he has others. And so Rav Nechemia, he picks out a piece, which I gave you a little more of in his book, which is a great place to start for us today to think about the idea of makom. And this is probably more relevant to us today. I just saw an article about this phenomenon not too long ago than it was 80 years ago, and it didn't exist even 100 years ago. This is new. I number it among my blessings, says C.S. Lewis, that my father had no car, while yet most of my friends had and sometimes took me for a drive. This meant that all these distant objects could be visited just enough to clothe them with memories and not impossible desires, while yet they remained ordinarily as inaccessible as the moon. The deadly power of rushing about wherever I please had not been given me. I measure distances by the standard of man walking on his 2 feet, not by the standard of the internal combustion engine. I had not been allowed to deflower the very idea of distance. In return, I possess infinite riches in what would have been to motorists a little room. The truest and most horrible claim made for modern transport is that it, quote, annihilates space. It does. It annihilates one of the most glorious gifts we have been given. It is a vile inflation which lowers the value of distance so that a modern boy travels 100 miles with less sense of liberation and pilgrimage and adventure than his grandfather got from traveling 10. Of course, if a man hates space and wants to be annihilated, that is another matter. Why not creep into his coffin all at once? At once. There is little enough space there. What's he talking about? He's talking about driving. And then on the one hand, we think that driving is a great gift, which it certainly is. But on the other hand, driving is a challenge. It brings limitations and it has effects. And so for us in today's world, this is one of the key demarcations of a Shabbos experience. You know, I'm not young enough to remember a generation where this was a regular, everyday conversation between people. I don't think in our community it is as much now as it was many years ago, where there were issues about open parking lots and closed parking lots. And Rav Schachter Shalitzer, he laments this fact that we don't have very many people driving to shul here in this shul on Shabbos. We lost those people. But years ago, in many shuls, there were people who drove on Shabbos. That was a thing. But ultimately, even for those people, they knew they weren't Shomrei Shabbos. Because a clear line of demarcation was, do you drive on Shabbos? Do you drive? This becomes, right, a definitional element of Shabbos for us. No driving, which is difficult. There was a Jewish woman maybe half a year ago who wrote an article in a British Jewish newspaper about how now she drives also on Shabbos sometimes. And she recognized that that's a break. That's not Shabbos observance if you're driving. Why is it such a big inyan? Why did it become such a definitional quality of Shabbos that do you drive on Shabbos or do you not drive on Shabbos? You know what I mean? Like, colloquially, that's a thing. Do you drive or do you not drive? So Rav Nechemiah points out, take a look in the bottom page. As a religious person, Lewis realizes that space is a gift, and when vehicles enable the annihilation of space, the seeming ability to be anywhere quickly devolves into the sense that one is nowhere. If distance has been erased, so has embodied proximity, physical closeness, and the infinite riches of genuine relationship. Genuine relationship. Here is the first nekuda. You can see the next paragraph where he develops this idea. All of a sudden we realize that Shabbos, it's of course it's about time, but it's also about space. And that there are limits to the space that we can inhabit on Shabbos. How far can you possibly walk on Shabbos? How far can you go? Not that far. Because you have to be within walking distance. Just even before that. Before we get to that. Walking distance. Right? When you plan a vacation somewhere. My maternal grandfather, Zichron Levracha, whose yard site was yesterday, who I want to mention, Reb Chaim Baruch Ben Rav Elimelech. So, he grew up between two worlds. He emigrated from Latvia, from Russia, to come here as a child. And he worked as a stock boy, cleaning supermarkets, cleaning, you know, shelves, so that he could support the seven members of his family. His father was a Rav, and all the children they brought over, they all went to school, and he had to go to work. So he didn't have a formal Jewish education. So I remember as a child, the things that were most dear to him in his whole life were learning Mishnayos, because that was what he knew how to learn, was Mishnayos. So as kids, we would go to Florida, and we would go to Far Rockaway, and he just wanted to learn, sit at the kitchen table with us and learn Mishnayos. And he would get the biggest nachas when we would read the Mishnayos. It was the best thing. That was one. But the second thing, he was a minyan addict. Minyan was his thing. That was what connected them to the Bon Shalom. He would, doesn't matter where, we would go to dinner at Sarah's Pizza at 3:15 in the afternoon because we had to be back in time for Mincha. And after he had a stroke and a cane and the whole thing, you know, it was a production to get to Mincha. So you had to have enough time. And if, God forbid, once we were running late to Mincha, He was like 6'1", much, much bigger than me. He gripped my hand. I thought all the bones in my fingers would be broken. And he ran, and the cane was flying behind him, and we ran down the hallway to get to Mincha. So he would plan his vacation. They would not be allowed to go on vacation. My grandmother could not plan any vacation that was not within walking distance of a shul. When you think about moving somewhere, you talk to people, where are you going to move? Well, the first thing you do is you take out a map, you find the shul, and you draw a circle. How far, right? Is that true?
Exactly what happened when we moved.
Right? That's how you ended up right here. You could have ended up in Niles, but you didn't. Why didn't you move to Niles? There's no shul. So Shabbos, if you look at the differentiator between people who drive on Shabbos and the people who don't drive on Shabbos, what's the difference? Genuine relationship. That's the difference. We could call that a sense of community. The limitations of travel on Shabbos, the fact that we have to be in a proximal makom, we all have to be in the same area, that enables us to create community and relationships. Shabbos is not just about zman, it's not just about time, it's also about makom. You have to decide that you're going to be in a place, and that's going to be your circle. We talk about in English, a circle of friends, right? My circle of influence. If you drive, then that circle could be anywhere. And then if you fly, it mamish could be anywhere. But not for us. Not for Shomrei Shabbos. For Shomrei Shabbos, you can't get in a car. So one day a week, you have to use your feet. So now, take a look on the next page. This was an interview, so the language is not... it's not what you would expect. It's because it's not from a book. Rabbi Sachs, Zichrono Levracha. You see on the top, he did this interview in 2017. A local community, he's being interviewed about the concept of community. A local community is actually dealt with in the first parak of Tehillim, Psalm 1. Ashrei ha'ish asher lo halach ba'atzas mishoim uvederach hatoim v'chulei v'chulei. What does that mean? You have to be shasul, rooted. To be strong, you need roots somewhere. Lo chein harishoim ki im kemotz asher tidferu ruach. Whereas the rishoim, we won't call them wicked, says Rabbi Sachs, we'll just call them just alienated or destabilized, are like chaff blown in the wind. And that's what Facebook culture actually is. You know, whatever is this week's fashion or this week's viral video, I mean, you don't have to have grinning cats, do you? Or whatever it is this week, I don't know. This is kamotz asher tidfenu ruach. This is blown this way and that. That's not an identity. And the part that I skipped because he has a long shtickel Torah here, he talks about the research of people and how their friends stack up. Facebook friends, how many of them could they call in an emergency? There's a whole, like, what does that mean? I was doing a Facebook Live a week or two ago with the head of Facebook in Europe, Nicola Mendelssohn, who I have to tell you is an Orthodox and practicing Jew. And we were talking about just that, because Mark Zuckerberg has changed the mission statement of Facebook to supporting communities. Yes, the truth is yes, Facebook can support communities, but it can't create communities. Communities have to be down here on the ground. That's why you need a minion. That's why, says Rabbi Sachs, you don't drive on Shabbos. So Orthodox Jews live in close proximity to one another. You need those things, and you need face-to-face encounters. So being in one makom, the way that we travel, is limited. It's limited to how far we can go because we're using our feet, and it's even limited in the way that we go. You know that there's a din, it's a real din, that we don't run on Shabbos. There's no running. So not only do we not drive, we don't even run. Where does this come from? So the pasuk says in Yeshayah, you probably have come across this pasuk or the implications of it. Pasuk says, "Im toshiv mi Shabbos raglecha," if you rest from Shabbos, your feet, asos chafatzecha, doing your things, but Yom Kodesh, says the Borei Olam, on my special day, V'karas l'Shabbos oneg l'kdosh Hashem b'chubad, to honor the Shabbos, to make it delightful. V'chibadato me'asos derachecha, and you honor it from doing your ways. Mimitzo cheftzecha, from finding your things, v'dabar davar, and speaking things. So the Helega Alshech, the Alshech HaKadosh on this Pasuk, points out an awesome diuk that some of you probably have heard at some point in your life. What does it mean, im tashif mi Shabbos raglecha? If on Shabbos you change the way you use your feet, you reconnect to your feet. Says the Alshech, hine omru razal, where the rabbis taught us, haholich lebeis haknesses, when you go to shul, mitzvah lemirhat. It's a mitzvah to run. It's a mitzvah to run. You don't have to run the whole way, all the way from Four Winds. You could get tired. But one step out the door, run out the door, or run when you get to the shul. It's mamash a mitzvah. Va'afilu b'shabbos. So says the Alshech HaKadosh, I don't understand. Hine, b'shabbos asur lorutz. You're not allowed to run on Shabbos. Ela l'dvar mitzvah. But you're allowed to run for a mitzvah. And that's the shot in the pasuk. How awesome is this? You ready? Look back at the pasuk. Im toshev mi Shabbos raglecha. If you rest your feet on Shabbos, asos chafatzecha. When you do your things, says the Alshech, v'zebios asos chafatzecha. When you take care of your stuff, you're doing something for you, you slow down. She'imhu lechefzei shamayim. But if it's for the desires of Hashem, for spiritual growth, then you should run. Nice pshat, right? In Toshav Shabbos Raglecha, rest your feet if it's for your stuff. But if it's for the Rebbe Shalom, come to shul, so you should run to shul even on Shabbos. But how interesting is that? I don't know how many people knew this din, that we don't run on Shabbos. This is part of like the whole issue about ball playing and stuff like that. We don't run on Shabbos. We don't drive. We don't run. Not only that, are you ready for this? Look at this next Gemara. Not only do we not run, the Gemara says, look at the last phrase in the Pasuk. Asos derachecha. The way that you go is different. So you're not running. You're certainly not driving. But now look at this Gemara. Shelo yehei Shabbos kuf yud gimel amud beis, the bottom of the page, source number 6. Shelo yehei hiluchach shel Shabbos ki hiluchach shel chol. The way that you walk on Shabbos should be different than chol. How is that different? If you're not driving and you're not running, still look at this Gemara. Ki hada amar Rav Huna amar Rav, va'amila amar Rabbi Abba amar Rav Huna. Here's the following question, 4 lines into source number 6. Hayah mahalech baderech, hayah mahalech b'Shabbos, this guy's walking on Shabbos, upaga ba'amas hamayim, and you encounter a stream. So what's the issue? What would you do if you encountered a stream? You would, what's that?
Jump.
Exactly! You would jump over it. The Gemara says, no jumping over the stream on Shabbos. How about that? Not only are you not allowed to run, you're not allowed to, what the Gemara is going to say, you're not allowed to take a large step like this. This is bigger than an amma. The Chama complains that my steps are very long. But you see how long this step is? Gemara says you should not do that. So Gemara wants to know, what should you do? Because now I come to the stream. Oh! So Gemara says option number 2 is walk around, but then you're walking extra on Shabbos. And we don't want you walking extra on Shabbos. Because Shabbos, you're not supposed to be. What's the main point of this whole section of the Shir? Don't go anywhere. Stay in your makom. So this is a quandary now. You said step over. The Gemara says, I know, because you're not supposed to take a big step. So you said to walk all the way around. The Gemara says, but you're not supposed to do extra walking for no reason. Now obviously it's a mitzvah to take a tiyul, like to walk outside, especially now. It's beautiful outside. So it's a mitzvah to take a walk on Shabbos, but that's oneg Shabbos. That's not just going from place to place. So the Gemara is in a quandary. Im yachol lahaniachis raglo rishonas. The Gemara says like this. If you can put your first foot down, this is like from the kindergarten, if you could put your first foot without picking up your second foot, so the Gemara says that's the best thing. Why? Because then you are not jumping. Because I could put the second, but if I have to pick up my second foot before I put the first foot down, the Gemara says you should not do that. You see this?
It's doing it with a shinui.
Well, it's less than a shinui. It's saying that you didn't jump.
You didn't jump.
If you could put down your first foot before you pick up the second foot, mutter. That's what you should do. V'imlav, aser, then you shouldn't do that. So the Gemara says, maskif l'rava, heichilavid. Lekaf, you should just go around. Then the Gemara says, that's no good. Why, second to last line, kamafish behilucha. You're having lots of walking. Extra walking. Oh, so the Gemara says, exactly. So la'aver, so why don't you walk through it? The Gemara says, your suggestion, doctor. Says, zimn de misvasin mani maya. We're worried that your pants are going to get soaking with water and you might come to wring them out on Shabbos. So there's a sita problem. So the Gemara says, okay, fine. It's impossible. Just do what you got. But the point of this Gemara is reinforcing the same nekuda. Not only do we not drive on Shabbos, not only do we not run on Shabbos, we don't take big steps on Shabbos, we don't jump on Shabbos, and we don't walk for no reason. What am I getting from this? That my Shabbos orientation is to stay here in this makom. Just stay here. That's what I'm getting from this. And all of these little tiny issues are around the core issue that you alluded to earlier. Turn the page to source number 7. It's a Gemara in Yevamos. This is fascinating, absolutely fascinating. This idea that we stay focused in our place. This is our makom, this is where we are. We're not going anywhere. Amar Rabbi Elazar, my crow, what does it mean? The Pasuk says, Dichsiv, Vateireki misametzes hi laleches. What does it mean that Rus was insistent? She was pressuring Nomi that she says, I must come with you. Right? This is at the crossroads where Rus and Orpah are standing at literally the crossroads of their life, deciding, are they going to go back to Moab? Are they going to continue on with Nomi? So Orpah says, I'm going home. Zew. And Rus says, no, I'm staying with you. Vatereki misametzesi laleches. Okay? So Nomi says, are you sure? Are you sure you're ready for this? Right? Amra la, what does she say to her? Asur lon tchum Shabbos. There's something called tchum Shabbos. And what does Rus answer her? Ba'asher tilchi eleich. Wherever you walk, wherever you go, I'll go. Isn't that interesting? The first thing that Naomi says to her, now that she's really, really serious about converting, is, are you really committed to this? One of the things you have to know is, we don't always go everywhere. There's a limit to where we go. We're going to take up a place somewhere, we're going to set down roots, and that's it. And Ruth says to her, Basher telchi elich. I'm in. It's one of the elements of conversation that they had when Ruth is becoming part of Jewish people. The idea that there is what we call Tchum Shabbos. This idea of Tchum Shabbos is really very interesting. What is it? So the Gemara says in Sota, you see here on number 8, Mar Savra, there's one opinion, Tchumin de Oraisa, that Tchumin is biblical, Umar Savar de Rabbanon. Tchumin is de Rabbanon. What is the word Tchum? Tchum means a perimeter. Right? Until now, before we turn this page, we talked about the proof, the idea, the thesis, that on Shabbos, we are limited in the way that we travel. So we don't drive, we don't run, we don't take big jumps, we stay here. But now we actually see that legally, it's not just the way that we go is limited. It's actually, there is a limitation halachically, internally, there is a boundary that's placed on us objectively. That's the notion of tchum. Tchum literally means the boundary. Now, it's not a malacha to go outside of the tchum, because, as we've talked about, malacha is a creative action. So to wander outside into the desert somewhere, that's not a creative act. But there is this din that there is a limit to how far you're going to go, and the Gemara now presents that this is a machlokas, whether this is de'oraisa or de'rabbanan. So which is it? The answer is, it might be both, as we will see right now. If it's de'oraisa, where am I going to find that source? It's not a malacha. So where am I going to find the source that I'm limited in my space, in my makom on Shabbos? So the Gemara in the end of the first parak in Eruvin discusses this. And it's just important for us to keep in mind, this doesn't come up so much for us since we don't drive and we live in large communities. But in old days, this was actually a relevant halacha that used to come up. When you think about an Eruv, the first thing that you think about when you think of Eruv is either the matzah that's in this cabinet right here and the strings and the wires that keep us together. That's one kind of Eruv. That's called Eruv Chatzeros. That's when you're in a community. But in old times, there used to be another kind of Eruv. It's called Eruv Tchumin. That either with your feet or with food, you would set aside a little, you know, a little suda. You would put it in a place, and that would expand the distance that you could walk. I don't know how many people use Eruv Tchumin today. It's not so common. Oh! Beautiful, I didn't even think of that. That's beautiful. In the kibbutzim, where you have to connect to kibbutzim, you use the Eruv Tchumin. Yeah, beautiful. So that's, you know, when we all retire and we go to a kibbutz and we have a more chilled, that's where we need to figure out the Eruv Tchumin. But people don't... So there, you don't need Eruv Tchumin because all the houses are contiguous. The Tchum means the edge of the inhabited area. So theoretically, that I think, at least based on my driving, I think that O'Hare is almost in the Tchum. I mean, you have to figure out that last bit because there's a big, like, empty area. There's empty area, like, at the edge of the highway at the airport. But you could take Dempster and keep going and going, or Tui, and you're still inside the Tchum. The Tchum is the inhabited area. So Eruv Chatzeros, that means that we took all of the houses in our proximity and we made them into one connected rishus, that we're all eating together, we're enclosed together. Eruv Tchumin means we have all these inhabited, you know, areas, and now we want to extend beyond the inhabited area. So let's say I was driving north. So you could walk as far north from a Tchum perspective. What's north of us? Wilmette is contiguous. Can you walk to Highland Park? Is Highland Park contiguous? So theoretically, I guess you could take a street. You could go all the way up Highland Park. I don't know how far after that. At some point, you're going to get to like Zion, or there's going to be an area that's empty. So you want to walk beyond that? So then you need an Eruv Tchumin. You need to extend your Tchum. So it's different than Eruv Chatzeros. People don't realize this because we don't use it so often. We're not living on a kibbutz, but there are different kinds of Eruv. There's Eruv Tavshilin. That's one kind of Eruv that also involves food. There's Eruv Chatzeros, which is what we call an Eruv, is when you have people living in the same area. So you put them in one kind of like corral, one big wall, and you have food together. And then the third kind of Eruv is this Eruv, Eruv Tchumin, which is one of the interesting discussions in the Rishonim. There's a humongous Ramban in this daf that we're about to get to in Daf Yud Zayin, who's trying to figure out, how does an Eruv Tchumin work? Like, how does that work? If I take just some sandwiches and I put them down somewhere, if this is a din to oraisa, how does that help you? That's a very interesting discussion. But the Gemara is telling us that what Nomi says to Rus is, you should know there's an objective distance that you are allowed to travel based on the place that you live. And the Gemara now is telling us that there are two opinions, whether this is derabanan or doraisa. So now take a look at this Gemara number 9. Amrei d'bei Rabbi Yanai, lo shano elo eruv chatzeros. The discussion there has to do with eruv chatzeros. Aval eruv tchumin chayavin. If a person violates tchum, says the Gemara, ditani Reb Chiya, lokin al eruv tchumin davar Torah. If a person wanders outside of the perimeter of their community, they get malchus, they get a corporal punishment obviously in the days when they had such a thing, and it was with witnesses and warnings, etc. Because this opinion holds that Eruvin, when it comes to Tchum, is biblical. What is the source? Take a look in the Rashi on the right side, top line. Lo kin al Eruvei Tchumin. A person would get Malkus if they walk outside of their community. Tichsiv, says the Pasuk, al yetze ish mimakomo. No person should go out from their place. That's the Pasuk. The end of this Gemara, the Gemara has a discussion about how to interpret this Pasuk. It can relate to al yetze, do not go out. It could also relate to carrying al yotzi. So that's the end of this Gemara, which you see on the page, which we don't have time for now. But this is the key Pasuk now. It's not just that Shabbos is a din in Zman. Of course it's a din in Zman, but it's also din in Makom. Al yetze ish mimakomo. You need to have a makom. And according to one man, the Amar, this is the Oraisa. The Rambam Paskin's fascinating that there are two levels. You ready? Take a look at this Rambam in the bottom. This is the Rambam at the beginning of the 27th chapter in Hilchos Shabbos. Hayotze chutz l'tchum hamedina b'Shabbos. If a person leaves the perimeter of their, the word medina in this case means, you know, city, state, village, meaning it's not Jewish, it's just inhabited area. So if you walk beyond, I don't know how far north, Highland Park and then maybe Deerfield or something like that, when you go beyond that and there's just open area, if you go beyond that, it's an issur d'oraisa, loke, shenemar, as it says in the Pasuk, al yetze ish mimakomo b'yom ha-shvi'i. On the seventh day, don't leave your makom. Makom zeh, what is this makom? It's tchum, it's makom zeh hu tchum ha'ir. It is the perimeter of your city. So how far is that? How far is the tchum Shabbos of your city? So the Rambam tells you two levels. See, here we are on the second line. V'lo nasna Torah shir l'tchum zeh. The Torah didn't explicitly tell you how far that is. Aval chachamim, the rabbis, they understood, hetiku shetchum zehu chutz le, how far? Shneim asar mil, keneged machane Yisrael. How big was the Jewish encampment in the desert? 12 mil? So 12 mil. So a mil is 2,000 amos. So an amma, let's say, is somewhere between 18 inches and change for Abkhainah and 24 inches for the Chazunish, and Rav Moshe is like 21 and change. So it's a little less than 2 feet. So it's about 3,500 or 3,800 feet is 2,000 amos. Times 2 times 12 is, I don't know, what is that? I got to get the computer ready. 40,000 feet-ish, right? Approximately, probably a little more. And how many miles is that? How many feet are in a mile? So it's about how many miles then? About 8 miles, let's say. Give or take 8 miles.
2 hours walking.
So if a person walks 8 miles outside of a city, that is the tchum on a biblical level, the oraisa.
That's a long walk. It's at least 2 hours.
Right. Right? It's about 2 hours.
2 hours.
Okay, I've walked well over 2 hours on Shabbos. It's not the craziest thing, right? It could be done. But now the Rambam goes even further. V'kach amar lehem Moshe Rabbeinu. And that's what Moshe Rabbeinu said to them. And this is what Moshe is saying to us. Lo seitzu chutz l'machane. Don't go out of your makom. Find a makom on Shabbos and stay there. And be there. Umidivrei sofrim, but mi derabbanan shelo yetzi adam chutz la'ir ela ad alpayim ama. Mi derabbanan, you don't have 8 miles; you have 2,000 amos. That's less than a mile. Rabbinically, you're not allowed to walk outside of the perimeter. And the Mishnayos and Erevin have a long discussion about how to ascertain what is the end of the city. Because let's say it's not always on a grid. So let's say you have one house that's at the edge of the village like this. And the Gemara says, okay, you square it off and then you measure from there. It's a whole discussion how to measure this. And it's not so nogea for us because we're not usually going outside of the tchum, but God forbid somebody lands at O'Hare and it's like, you know, 14 minutes before Shabbos, they got to get in an Uber, like, uber fast, you know, because walking is not so posh to walk from O'Hare because you got a cheshbon out. Midrabanan, you got to be within a mile, right? It's less than a mile to the end of your tchum. So figuring that out is tricky. But the point is, Sha'alpayim amahu migra she'ir, the Rambam says, 2,000 amas, that's kind of like the perimeter grassy area. That's the field of your city. But not only is it, this is, I find this din is really so fascinating, this din of Erev Tchumen. Not only is it that there is a manda omar, that this is a din to Oraisa, that according to the Rambam, 12 mil is to Oraisa, 2,000 amas is Rabbanan, 12 mil is to Oraisa. You not only are limited in your makom, you actually have to consciously have a makom. And what do I mean by that? If you live in a city, let's say we live in this neighborhood, so we have a makom. But the guy who's walking in a field on Friday afternoon trying to get to a city, and he's outside of the city, so he's looking out in the distance, he's like, oh, what do I do? Where do I start my Shabbos so I can count my 2,000 amas? The person actually has to have a makom. There's a din in the Gemara, which is quoted in the Shulchan Aruch. Look at this din in the Shulchan Aruch. A person, they're walking. Remember, in antiquity, people worked in the field. On Friday afternoon, the guy's walking home for Shabbos. But he realizes he's not going to get to the city in time. And he's not going to get within 2,000 amos in time. But you know what he does? Imagine that pole is a tree. He sees there's a pole in the distance. From me to the tree is less than 2,000 amos. From the tree to the city is less than 2,000 amos. So perfect. So he's going to say, I am in my mind going to be Kone Shvisa. I'm going to establish this is my Shabbos Makom. And then you can walk there, start of Shabbos, and you continue. So Shulchan Aruch says, Aval im ein kola ilam besoch alpayim, v'lo yichei makom tachtov, lo kost kona shvisa. The person has to have a yichud makom. The person has to not just say, oh, that's where I'm going to start my Shabbos. The person has to, halacha l'maisa, they have to think, my makom is at the base of the tree. That's going to be what we're called kona shvisa, where you acquire your resting spot. You really have to have a makom. It's not just theoretically you have to have a place. If you don't have a makom, if you think, yeah, well, I'm approximately walking in this place and my tree is my marker, then actually you do not have a makom. And you know what happens to a person who doesn't have a makom? They do not have 2,000 amos. What do they have? 4 amos. Lo, third line of Shulchan Aruch. Lo yozos mi makomo. You have 4 amos. This is how much you have. This is your space on Shabbos. That's it. You only get 2,000 amos if you have a makom. So we live in this city, so we have 2,000 amos. But if a person's wandering in a forest and they don't say, and they don't think, they have to just think it, this is my makom, they don't get 2,000 amos because they don't have a makom. So Chazal say, if you don't have a makom, well, you're going to stay right there. Literally, you can't even walk 20 feet. Fascinating. So what's the pshat? What is the pshat in all of this? That we're so limited that on Shabbos you can't drive, you can't run, you can't take long strides. Objectively, you have to be in a makom. I think it's the nekuda of interiority. What's the definition of interiority? Interior quality or character, says the Merriam-Webster Dictionary, which is halacha moshe b'sinai, obviously. Or inner life or substance, psychological existence. There is an essay by the great law expert in Israel, from guy, Aviad HaKohen, brilliant legal authority in Israel. He wrote an essay a couple of years ago about freedom of movement. One of the basic freedoms of people is freedom of movement. And that's why to incarcerate someone to limit their freedom of movement, that is a very significant infringement and can only be done in a normal society. It can only be done under certain rules. Part of the problem of fear societies where they don't have the rule of law and basic human rights is that people's limits of freedom can be imposed on them at whim, right? People are being pulled off the street in Russia and in China and all these nebuch, very, very difficult places. But in America, no one can limit your freedom of movement without due process. That's against the law. The Torah intuits that there is a freedom of movement, but there are exceptions. And there is an exception for a reason. Sometimes the Ribbono Shel Olam wants to limit our freedom of movement, and that is for the purpose, perhaps, at least for us, for a Shabbos context, for the purpose of interiority. If a person is free to move about the country, as they say in Southwest Airlines, you are now free to move about the country, that's what they say in the advertising, so then you're always looking, you're always searching, you're exploring, which is beautiful. So now, Baruch Hashem, we explore different places, we go, but we're thinking about what's on the outside. What's the next vacation? What's the next hotel? What's the next location? What's the next town? What's the next experience? So there's something beyond. And Milu Esaros V'Chavshua, we're meant to explore that. But that comes at a cost. Because if we're constantly journeying to the next destination, do we have a moment to be internal? To be in and focus where we are? But when our freedom of movement is limited, then all of a sudden we have to come face to face with the inner reality that we have. If we would have had this discussion 5 years ago, we would have said, it's a very interesting theoretical conversation. But after having been in a lockdown, we know exactly what that means. Now, we know how unhealthy it is to have that for weeks on end, but I hope that for some, I mean, obviously for many, it was extremely painful and difficult and sad and tragic for specific moments. But I hope that there were some moments for even people in very difficult circumstances who found inner meaning in their lockdown. They found a moment or a few moments here and there of interiority. It doesn't mean that we would wish that lo aleinu on anyone, b'shum ofen, b'chlal, b'chlal. And thank God we are in the place where we are now. But that gave us an interesting perspective on what it means, al yetze ish mi mekomo, to have a makom and to stay there. Now, of course, there are, you know, horrible still consequences being felt from that pandemic lockdown. But now, just think about if you can capture a good moment that you had. Sometimes, you know, maybe it was a moment of reflection, maybe it was a moment of quiet, maybe it was a moment of davening. I don't know what it was. But by stripping away, by taking away the possibility of going anywhere else, we had to come face to face with the interiority of ourselves. Because we were stuck in this makom. There is a fascinating din. The pasuk says, "Umen amikdash lo yetze, v'lo yechalal es mikdash elokav, ki nezer shem en mishchas elokav olav ani Hashem." Who is this pasuk talking about that they don't leave the Beis Hamikdash? Beginning of Parshas Emor, it's talking about one man, the Kohen Gadol. Even if something catastrophic happens in their life, the Kohen Gadol must remain in the Beis HaMikdash. Why is that? Because the Kohen Gadol needs to understand that to be the representative of all of us of Klal Yisrael in a spiritual pursuit, the service in the Beis HaMikdash, the Kohen Gadol needs to be present in the moment. He can't be thinking, the truth is, I could really be going for lunch to Mamilla, and after that, I have to do some errands downtown in Ben Yehuda, and he's got a lot of things. And then all of a sudden, you're not really there. You're not present. There's no interiority of the moment because you could be somewhere else. And with airplanes now, you could be anywhere, but not the Kohen Gadol. The Kohen Gadol needs to be present in his makom. And the Rambam expands this. Look at the Sefer HaMitzvos. The Rambam says that not only does the Kohen Gadol have a requirement to be there, but that any Kohen, Shehizir HaKohanim Milotzis Me'amikdash B'Shas Avoda, in the moment of Avoda. If you're doing Avoda, you're not allowed to go anywhere else. You're on lockdown. Because the potential to go other places is very distracting. It takes away your ability to be in the moment, because there's the possibility that you could go somewhere else at any moment. But the Rambam says, no! If you're in the middle of the Avoda, if you're a Kohen in the Avoda, you may not leave. And you know what that does? That restriction that limits your freedom of movement actually gives the freedom to be in the moment, to have a moment of interiority, because there's nowhere else to go except in. Min ha-mikdash le-yetze. Perhaps that's what Al Yetze Ishmi Makomo is meant to teach us. Don't try to escape the present. Isn't that sometimes what we do when we travel? I got to get out of this place. I've been here too long. I'm getting antsy. You see that especially men. You know, there's a special din that you have a makom kavua in davening. Men have a very hard time with this. We're constantly like cruising the shul. We're walking. We're going. That's why it's like such a big deal to have a makom kavua. I don't think women have this so much. But like men, we have a big problem with this makom. You know what I'm talking about? Like, we can't. You need a makom during davening because you need to be going inside. The inyan of, and this is what we're suggesting, the inyan of having a defined makom is that it creates the experience of interiority.
You're
shuckling, so you can... Exactly. Shuckle! What happens on Shabbos? On Shabbos, we are meant to have an interior experience. It's Yom HaDinishmasa, it's the day that we spend with the Ribbono Shel Olam. The Ribbono Shel Olam is not found out there. The Ribbono Shel Olam is found in here. The interiority of ourselves, inside of ourselves. So one reason, of course, that we have this limitation ongoing is that we can build interpersonal relationships, close, real, authentic relationships. We invite people to come to our homes. We see them in shul. We get that. That's Aleph. That's the first basic thing. I was in a conversation many years ago with a Reform rabbi way on the North Shore who was describing to me how his congregants live in this neighborhood and that neighborhood. They live downtown, they live uptown. But there's a challenge to feeling a sense of community. But it's much deeper now. That was only the first half of the shiur. The second half of the shiur is to realize that having a makom in Shabbos is that the avod of Shabbos is to go inside of ourselves and find the Ribbono Shel Olam. To have one day where we're not outside, that we are in our makom, meaning we are with the Ribbono Shel Olam. And for that, ayay! When a Jew calls out, says Rabbi Nachman, where are you, God? That is, ayay, mekom kavodo. You don't need to go anywhere. Wherever you say, ayay, where are you? That's mekom kavodo. Yaakov Avinu, Pasuk says in the beginning of Parshas, Vayetze, Vayifka ba'makom, Vayolen sham kivo ha-shemesh. Yaakov Avinu encountered the makom. So what does he do? He stops traveling. When you realize that you're in a makom, you stop going. You start staying. You become interior. So what does he do? What does Vayifka mean in this context? He davens. He has a spiritual experience. He has a conversation with the Ribbono Shel Olam. Of course he wasn't davening all day because he was running. He was going from one place to the next place. But until he realized, I'm in a makom. Now I'm with the Ribbono Shel Olam, so now we can daven. I'm not going to... I'm davening, I'm not running. I'm not walking, vulgaring around the shul. I'm in my makom. And this is the source of everything. This Bereishis Rabbah. You've been waiting for this the whole shiur. Says the Halakha Bereishis Rabbah, Rav Huna, the last Mar Makom, Rav Huna b'shem Rabbi Ami Omar, Mipnei ma mechanin shmo shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'korin oso makom. Why is it that we nickname the Ribbono Shel Olam the makom? Shehu makomo shel olam, that he is the ultimate makom of the world. Ve'ein olamo makomo. It's not that this world is the place of Hashem. Hashem is the makom of this world. That's the interiority of life. The interiority of life is the Ribbono Shel Olam. He is makomo shel olam. Just that we're so busy running from one place to the next the whole week, we forget that. So on Shabbos, we say, Al yeseish mi makomo. Don't leave your place so that you can realize who is makomo shel olam. Al yeseish mi makomo. Don't leave the Ribbono Shel Olam. Because the Ribbono Shel Olam is wherever you are. And that's what it says in the Pasuk, Hine makom iti, Havi HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Makomo shel olam, ve'ein olamo makomo. That's, I think, the deeper reason. It's not just to build community, which it is, but the al yetzei ish mimakomo is to realize that we shouldn't leave the inner makom shel olam, the Ribbono Shel Olam. If Shabbos was about leisure or recreation, so we'd be going all over the place. But that's not what Shabbos is about. Shabbos is about time with the Ribbono Shel Olam, and therefore we dafka don't go anywhere. We just go in our local community to find the shul where we daven with the Ribbono Shel Olam, to find friends who are the extension of our neshama, the Avas Yisrael, the friendships that are created. We stay home, we learn, we encounter the Ribbono Shel Olam on the inside. He is Makomo Shel Olam, Al Yetzei Ish Mi Makomo. It's the interiority of Shabbos, which is only enabled by the limitation on space. It's dafka being in this makom that enables us to fully experience the main purpose of Shabbos, which is the interiority, the Ribbono Shel Olam, Mekomo Shel Adam, Al Yetzei Ish Mimekomo. It's the Nekuda Merkazis on Shabbos.